Hey folks, welcome everybody. I hope you can hear me. If you would, please say hello in the chat so I know that my audio is working properly. I would appreciate that. And welcome to this week's B2B Launcher Momentum Call or Coaching Call. This is Susan. Glad you guys are here. Cheryl, hey, how are you? Chris, glad you're here. Hey, Kelly. Hey folks, great. Thank you for the chat stuff. I am gonna put up the just for fun question. This was something I was thinking about the other day. I was talking to somebody about first jobs, in high school or whenever you started working. What was your first job or any unusual job maybe that you did early on? Because we tend to pick up some pretty odd jobs in the beginning of our working life. And so would love to hear about it while we're waiting for other people to come on. And hey, Nadine, glad you're here. Whoops. Good to have you. We're just going to play around with this a little bit until just give other folks a minute or two to join us while we're waiting. And anybody who, can you still hear me? There we go, I hope. Interesting. And so for those of you, Chris, thanks for that. A ranch hand at Montana Ranch. That sounds like a blast, honestly. $10 a day though, yeah. I hear you on that and a big breakfast. I love it. Nadine was 16 working weekends in a comic book store. That sounds fun too, actually. Awesome. Thanks for sharing. So everybody who's, Mackleby, hey, welcome. Glad you joined us. Glad you're here. So for folks who are new to this, hopefully we go through kind of a process here. I ask a couple of questions to get us started. I ask one question, and then it's your turn to ask questions. And I am hoping that you all came prepared today. What I like to say is don't be a spectator, be a participant. Would love to hear your questions or whatever it is that you might be struggling with. Maybe you're stuck somewhere. Would just like a deeper understanding of... and hey, Kelly, thanks for that. Hopefully that's a little bit better. I'm just going to check my... All right. I did have some computer issues earlier this morning, so I don't know if that's causing the sound problems, but hopefully not. But thanks for letting me know, Kelly. All right, so I'm going to jump ahead. We've got a nice group today. And Matt, hey, Matt, thanks for being here. Glad you joined us. I'm going to dive in with my first question for all of you, and that is to, I'm going to ask you to share a win. And whether it's big or small, would love to hear what's gone well for you in the last week or so. Anything at all that is relative to the program, anything that you've made progress on, and every step you take, even if it's a small one, is an important one. We love to hear about them. I do, and also to celebrate with you. So please share a win when you just type in a capital W in the chat. For those of you who are new, that helps me to know what. I don't want to miss any questions as people start typing in the chat. All right. Kelly, thanks for that. She says, I'm going to send out my first invoice this week. It's not huge, but it feels pretty significant. It is very significant. Congratulations. That is terrific. You've been on fire and really making some great progress in the program, as well as landing a first client so quickly out of the gate. That's really awesome. So congratulations on that. That's huge. I love that. Nadine, hey, welcome. Nadine says, not too much progress just yet, but started the program and finished the introductory and session one. So Nadine, that's a huge win to get started in this program. There's the first couple of modules are a little heavier lifting in terms of some of the things that you have to do. If you have questions about anything in module one, session one, feel free to ask today, but welcome to the program. And session one, session two, session three can be a challenge, bit of a challenge. There's a lot to contemplate. So for anyone who's on the call, please take your time with those and put some time into it. It's important. Matt, hello there. Matt has shared a win. He said, I'm about 85% finished with my website update. Awesome. That's great. Again, lots of work in these first two or three sessions. And then after that, things kind of level out and they become more consistent in terms of what you'll be doing. So excellent. Thanks for sharing. Chris said, I completed a draft of my about page. Yes. Is that too long to share in the Facebook group as inserted text, or should I use an attachment instead? So Chris, I would suggest that you use an attachment if you want to. I'm not sure, I don't recall if you submitted your website for review or not yet. So just let me know that, because you don't need to share pieces of your website. That is something I'll review the whole website, every page. When you submit it for review. So if you've already done that and you are taking a second look or maybe created an about page, then definitely you can submit it as an attachment. And I could take a look at it there as well as other folks in the group. Hey, Philip, see that you've joined us. Welcome. And Sam, glad you're here. Brittany, I don't know if I said hello. I'm glad you guys are joined us. We've got a nice group today. So yeah, Chris, put the whole thing together. And there's two ways to submit your website for review. And I would say not necessarily two ways. There's only one way to submit it for review, and that's to do it on the Facebook, in the Facebook group under website, the website review post. So when you're ready to do this, for those of you who are new in the program, there is a specific post that you'll see in the Facebook group just for website review, and that's where it needs to be posted. Whether it, there's two ways to share that. You can do it in a Word document if it's just your content and you want it reviewed before you go and put it up on a live site. Or you can submit your URL if you already have it up and online, which a lot of people do. Doesn't matter to me. I like being able to see it as a full website. It really gives me a good feel for what you're trying to communicate. But that is entirely up to you, whatever works best for you. So do it all at once all that content is ready to go. And simply, Chris, because it all works together, I can look at other pages to see what you've talked about on, say, a Why Me page, for example, versus your About page versus, you know, services. I like to kind of compare page to page to see what you're doing. And that's, it just makes it more helpful. McElvey said, contacted three prospects, had two initial calls, and delivered a pitch and a proposal. Wow. Congratulations. You're on fire too. That's terrific. Keep us posted, please, as you move forward with that. Let us know how that goes. Stay connected in the Facebook group and keep us updated. Philip, hey, you're here. Glad you're here. I didn't see you jump on. And his win was he got all the comments incorporated into his website. Terrific. Congratulations. That's a nice revision. Nice, a little bit of fine tuning, and now you're ready to go. That's great. And I know, Philip, that you had a question. So when we get to the questions, be sure to put that in, and I can bring you on. We can have a conversation if you're in a place where you can talk. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for sharing the wins. That's awesome. Great news. Great news. Great progress. This is a good group in terms of being able to share wins. Don't hesitate, by the way, to use Facebook for that, as well as things pop up in between these calls, whether it's a question, whether you're stuck or on an issue or something like that. Or if you've made some great progress, don't hesitate to share that in the group on Facebook, because that's a great place to get support. And we are so isolated to begin with these days that having a social outlet like that, where you can share what progress you're making, can be really exciting and invigorating. So definitely do that, especially with people who are going through the same thing and know what you're dealing with. All right. Well, I am going to dive right into the question and answer session portion of the call, today's call. And this is being recorded. So if you need to leave, or also for folks who weren't able to attend in person today, this will be the recording will most likely be available by tomorrow. Usually they put it up the day after. So keep your question focused. Make sure that you type in a capital Q, just so that I don't, just like you were doing W's to precede your comment, do the same with your questions. Type in a Q. I just, so that if we get lots of questions, I don't want to miss anybody. If you have more than one, please start with one. We've got 11 people on the call today, and that's really awesome. And that means that I can come back around to you if I need to. And then let me know if you don't want to unmute, if you might be someplace where you can't really talk on the phone. Sometimes a lot of folks in this program have a full-time job as well, and you know, kind of ramping up their freelance business on the side. So if for some reason you're not available to talk, just let me know that. And so I want to encourage everyone on the call, please think about asking any kind of a question, whether it's about the program, where you're at, if you're, as I mentioned, if you're hung up somewhere, feel you're stuck, you're not quite clear on how to move forward. That's what this call is all about. I also want to encourage you not to be shy in the sense of, oh gosh, this is probably a silly question. I can guarantee you that if you have any kind of a question, that most everyone else listening to this, whether live or recorded, will have that same question or something similar. So it's amazing to me how helpful any kind of a question can be, because most of the time people are going to, they've either already encountered that same situation or they're about to. And so questions are, that's the whole point of bringing you all together, is to be able to share your questions. We share the answers. I also want to encourage you to share thoughts in the chat. So if someone is asking for a resource, I see that a lot. Sometimes people will say, gosh, you know, what's the best resource to build my website on? You know, what's the best platform? And so feel free to share your experiences and any suggestions you have with the group in the chat as well. I highly encourage lots of interaction. It'll be much more valuable for you folks if we have lots of participation. So all right. Hey Chris, I think you have your first question. And he said he can talk. Adopted a new project, chat box marketing, and was encouraged to start with local small businesses. Could use some tips on finding these, since my previous focus was on LinkedIn and the internet. Alrighty. Hey, let me see if I can find you. Chris, I'm going to unmute you. Oops. Where'd you go? Hey, Chris, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing good.
So it sounds like you got into some exciting stuff here, chatbot.
Yeah, I I swore that I was not going to take any more classes. You know, because I remember Ed and you both saying, you know, that can turn into a form of procrastination after a while.
Yes, it does.
But this was just so interesting, and I also got a pretty steep discount because of becoming a AWAI Infinity member. And also, I didn't realize this, that if you're a member of the Professional Writers Alliance, then part of your monthly dues accumulate every month, and you can apply those to an AWI class as well.
Oh, that's great.
So between the two, I got a $2,000 class for less than $400. So
oh, that's great.
Couldn't pass it up. But anyway, chatbot marketing is pretty interesting as a gig, because not only can you do the conversation design and the copywriting, but if you want to, you can do the back end pieces as well, which is more techie. So that's two things to charge for. So Nick Osborne recommended that local businesses don't really have an IT staff, so they would need help on the back end. So,
sure.
You know, maybe start looking for local businesses as a way to get some initial projects. So
definitely, definitely. Well, one of the things that pops into my head is define small first. And this is just something that I recommend that you think about doing, is that so too small might not have a need, but a small business for your purposes might be a company that has, I'm just going to pick numbers out of the air here, but maybe no fewer than 10 employees, for example, something like that, up to 50 employees, somewhere in that, or maybe up to 100 employees, just so that you can start thinking about categorizing a company that way. So that's one of the best ways to start, is to think about, okay, what's too small? Like a someone who's, you know, a really small business, maybe a, you know, small local contractor or something like that, not going to need that. So the first way to kind of focus is to say, okay, companies with between 10 and maybe 50 employees. And that might give you some ideas right there, is to just say, okay, so if that's the case, am I looking at, you know, what kinds of, and I personally don't have a ton of experience with chatbot. I think that's a reasonably new marketing angle. Not that chatbots are new, because they've been around for a while and people are using them, have been using them for a while, but the whole aspect of marketing is kind of interesting to me. So I'm thinking, for me, I'm thinking what kinds of companies also, what kinds of vertical markets would use chatbot marketing in order to enhance their you know, is another way to market. Is that something that you have any feeling for yet, or are you just getting started into the program? It sounds like you haven't started the program yet, the training that you purchased.
Well, we're just about done. I'm working on our final project now.
Okay.
So yeah, it's time to start thinking about it. I'm not sure. I mean, to your point, I'm not sure what kind of vertical would work best.
And I'm, you know, the first thing that springs to mind is something along the lines of retail, you know, maybe retail industry, retail businesses. And that's the first thing that I can think of. Like oftentimes you get onto a website and the chat pops up and says, how can we help you today? And I'm just trying to think of the different types of companies that do that. And the ones that come to mind first for me are retail. So online retail or, companies, but that doesn't mean that it can't be service-based as well. So I'm just trying to, you know, brainstorm a little with you here in terms of what kinds of companies, and that's something you might even just Google. It's like, who uses chatbot marketing? And they didn't give you any kind of target to, you know, or any assistance with that in the course? This was really just the marketing piece?
As far as who to look for, not really. I think it is kind of new as a marketing thing, like you said. it seems to get better conversion rates when done right than traditional digital marketing.
For sure.
And one of the suggestions that came up in conversation was, you know, look for companies that are really hurting because they're not getting as many people coming in the door, because this could be another way to generate engagement.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
They might be willing to try something, you know, something new.
But it's all, you know, it's all internet, you know, website based. So that's why I'm thinking, that's the first thing that popped into my head was, what do I want to say, but for retail. So, and I'm thinking of the big retailers, like companies like a Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that. I mean, those pop up all the time and they're, hey, you know, well, how can we help you, or this kind of thing. And it's definitely a bot at first, until you ask to be connected. And I think it's a matter of figuring out. So there's also service and customer service companies. So, oh my goodness, if you go to their customer service, you might even try an angle of a company that might want to incorporate this into their customer service approach. So let's say I am already doing business. Maybe it's an HR company. Maybe it's health, something to do with healthcare. I've seen that on some healthcare sites as well. The chat popping up. I think it's a matter of kind of playing around a little bit and doing a little bit of research in terms of, is there an application? So if we talk about retail's pretty obvious. If I jump on your site and I'm idle for, you know, a couple of minutes, or you see me browsing, you can pop up a chat to say, hey, how can we help you, or that kind of thing. But it could be for other companies, for service-based companies, you might think about doing something with customer service. So how do you support your existing clients? And is this something it could use some kind of an upsell approach or something like that? So I think there's a couple different ways you could approach it. Is that vertical market? One, are there vertical markets that are already get this? And really understand it and are leveraging it, and maybe see if you can get in to a couple of those to get some experience. The thing that I'd be concerned about, honestly, is if the hard thing, because this is so new, there's this learning curve, and there might not be companies that are going to be sold necessarily on this concept. You know what I mean? So you may have to do a little educating, and sometimes that makes it even harder to get them to adopt this new kind of approach to their whatever piece. So I would recommend that you look for industries that are already working with this type of technology and start there. How you find them? Lots of searching and lots of, I would still use LinkedIn a little bit to do company searches. You might look at other businesses just to find out what's out there. Go search on LinkedIn and look up chatbot, see what comes up. You know, is there a group that you might be able to join that maybe it's chatbot experts, you know, or something like that. A bunch of people that talk about, you know, chatbot technology. That might be a good group for you to join to kind of get a sense of what's going on in this area and what's developing. So I'd be looking for developing trends with chatbot. What are the most, follow a company that, I don't know, is there a separate technology that overlays websites? You know, like, is there an app or something like that that would provide that service?
Yeah, it's basically software as a service, much like WordPress. You know, if you have your website in WordPress, so okay. We were taught one of them. It's called ManyChat. It's basically another website where you have an account and you build these things, and then it links through Facebook Messenger back to your website.
Yeah, I'd jump on their website, follow them, start seeing where what they're seeing, like follow their blog. Find them on LinkedIn and follow them there. See what kinds of things they're putting out for information and how they're enticing. There might be a lot of information there for you to give you a sense of, okay, who should I be targeting and what help can I offer? It might even be worth, seeing if they use copywriters themselves for either their content or, and to look for, the other thing I'd look for is competition. So are there other writers who are doing this? Like look up, search on chatbot copywriter or chatbot marketing writer and see what comes up and see how they're positioning themselves. You might find some information on their websites to give you some clues as well. So if you go to a person's website and you see, you know, I specialize in chatbot marketing to the X, Y, and Z industry, much the way that we teach in this course, is, you know, hopefully they'll share, hey, I'm focused on this particular industry. Well, then that'll give you some clues as to where the most growth is happening right now. Does that make sense? I mean, is that helpful?
Yeah, that gives me a lot of things to go on. So I appreciate that, Susan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good luck.
And keep Thank us. You.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about it. So as you start diving in, don't hesitate to give us an update on Facebook, because I'd love to hear how you make out once you start kind of digging a little deeper here.
All right.
All right. Good luck. Great question. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, especially with something unique like that and different. I think that it takes a bit of time to research. You know, the research is a little bit different. It's not as simple. And you might have to dig a little deeper and think a little differently too about how to research that. It's getting creative with your research. But thanks for the question, Chris. Appreciate it. All right. Next up is Kelly. Kelly has a question. She said, I'm still pretty early in my biz development process and I'm finding it difficult to allocate my time. Generally speaking, what percent of my available time should I spend on business development, skill development, direct client work, and admin work? Between all these things, I feel really busy. Oh my goodness. In the beginning, Kelly, you're absolutely correct. I am just hoping you can come on because I do want to ask you a couple of questions. Hoping you're available to talk. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, but I'm feeling a little overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. Well, I can imagine, because you kind of get shot out of a cannon here with with this whole process. So congratulations again, because I know you've got your client and you're busy, and that's great. So help me out by just letting me know, where are you in this program, in the B2B Launcher program right now? How far have you gotten?
Just finished this morning session 4, so making kind of the lists of prospects and kind of organizing my network between the categories of connectors and golden nuggets and helpers. So I feel like I've got kind of the business development work that I'm doing with you guys. Then I've got like skill development work that I still need to do. I'm finishing up a big program that I had signed up for with AWAI. And then I've got all this like admin work, like trying to figure out, you know, what are my invoices going to look like? What's my branding going to look like? People are asking me for samples and bios and rate cards, and I don't have, and then in the middle of it, I've got client work to do, and I'm having a hard time like
managing it all. Absolutely.
Well, it's more like trying to figure out, like, is it appropriate if I have client work on the table and it's not due yet, is it appropriate to still spend part of my day doing my business development stuff, doing my skill development stuff? Because I feel like my natural inclination is to just do the client work, but I don't want to drop the business development and the skill development, and the admin work has to happen. And right. I got this new time tracking app, and you know, I felt like I was like so busy all day on Tuesday, but at the end of the day, I really only billed out about 2.5 hours because the rest of it was, you know, following up on things on LinkedIn and answering emails and setting up meetings and just all of this other miscellaneous stuff. And then doing my hour and a half, 2 hours in the morning, working on ed stuff and then reading ahead for this homework. And so I feel like I'm someone who does really well with guidelines. Like,
sure.
If someone were to say, can you write this byline article for me? I would say, sure. About how long do you want me to spend on it? Because I could spend 10 hours on it. I could spend 30 hours on it, or I could spend an hour and a half. You know, it's like I kind of need to feel like I have some sort of a bogey just to be shooting for, or I feel like I'm just kind of all over the place. And I want to try to build good habits now in the beginning.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree 100%. I'm just looking. So I know Ed has some articles, some great articles that will be super helpful for you. And I'm just looking to see if there's one time management that I can direct you to, because he's just got so much great stuff.
Good.
Done. Let me see. Let me see if I can get that to work. And it didn't. Huh, that's funny. I will post in the Facebook group for time management afterwards. Let me just put a note here, time management, because I don't want to waste our time me looking for it. So what I would suggest is you have a lot on your plate. And this is one of the reasons that we caution against having too many programs that you're trying to, too many training programs like skill building along with business building side by side, because then all of a sudden what can happen is exactly what's happening to you, is that you've got an awful lot to think about. You've got a lot to do, and the days just 24 hours is just not enough time, or at least it feels like it. So here's what I would recommend. And this is a program that it's actually something that I learned from Ed that I absolutely love. And he's got a time management kind of a system. And I'll give you just kind of a high level overview of how it works. It's a matter of stepping back and writing down each one of these things. Each one of these things has to be done on a weekly basis or monthly basis, however often you're going to be focusing. And so you might start by just putting them in order from one to whatever, one being most important. What's the most important thing that I have to do every day? And so to start by getting your mind around the importance of each thing can be really helpful. So admin piece, important, but that could be, maybe towards the lower down on the list. The client work, very important. The key here is to, number one, make sure that you're clear on what the most important thing is. And they all have importance. I'm not saying that any of them are not important. What I'm saying is that some are probably more important than others. And it also has to depend, obviously, like you said, on deadlines, things of that nature, if it's client work. The other thing that I want you to keep in mind is that in the beginning of this program, where you are right now, and you're really just kind of right in the middle, just getting started, you have things to do that are one-time things. So you mentioned a bio, you mentioned some other like handouts and things of that nature. Once you get that stuff, it's sort of like your website. Once you get it done, you cross it off your list and you don't have to look at it again for a while. Those are the same kind of thing. So look at how can I fit in a reasonable amount of time to get my bio together. If you've got your website together, you've probably got an about page. Just copy what you have on the about page, but keep this simple. Keep this as simple as possible. Take what you have written already and just plug in a little more detail if you want, something like that. So, look for easy ways, but keep in mind too that, again, this is a one-time thing. So once I get my bio done and I have it in some way that I can hand out, then I can just put that aside. I'm done. I cross that off my list and move on. When it comes to business development, in this part of your business, it's critical. I know that you have a client now that you've been working with or just started working with. Really important to continue to build that habit. And I'm glad that you use the term habit, because this is, building good practices. This is about systematizing your business and building good practices. So getting back to the actual time management piece. One of the things that Ed recommends is that the way that he structures his week, and I do the same thing and I really like it, is to block out regular times for specific things. So I actually use my calendar as a to-do list. And I look at, okay, from 9 to 10 on Monday, I'm going to be planning. I'm going to be looking at my week, what's coming up, and building out my next 2 weeks worth of calendar. And I also block out time for each specific task. So if I know, and I also do it based on the time of day. So if I need to be creative, I need to be at my sharpest, I'm going to block out my mornings for anything that requires a great deal of brain power. So anything like writing, for example, if I need to create something for a client where I know it's going to be heavy lifting mentally, I really want to be sharp. I do that in the morning up until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then in the afternoon, that's when I do things like admin and following up on emails and maybe even having my discovery calls. So you want to know yourself and know what when you're at your best, and then plug in the things that are most important in the times that you are sharpest, that you're mentally sharpest. And then the second thing is to, I guess the next piece of that is to then say, okay, so Monday, for example, I don't hold any client calls. I don't speak with existing clients unless there's an emergency, and I don't hold discovery calls. Because Monday, I want to catch up on my marketing. I want to do that skill building. I still dedicate time for learning. Sometimes I'll sign up for a webinar that I know I'm interested in. No intention of going to the webinar at the time that it's being held, but I know I'll get the recording, and then I plug that into my, so Monday afternoon, I'm going to watch that webinar because that's what fits in my schedule. So you start working around, you know, you start playing with, all right, Mondays is, or maybe it's Friday. Maybe Friday is a buffer day, if you will, where Fridays you're just, okay, I'm going to do my skill building. I'm going to do my marketing. I'm going to do some of that. And you don't do any necessarily any marketing in the sense of actual business development. You know, business development, maybe you save that. It's slotted for 1 to 2 every afternoon, and maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You spend an hour or two or three, however much. If you don't have a lot of activity, and in the beginning, especially in this course, we recommend that you do a good bulk of your time to building your list, doing your research, reaching out to people, doing all of that prospecting. It's really, really important to build a good habit of prospecting up front. And I would say that from a percentage standpoint, in the beginning, you should be spending at least half of your time prospecting every day. So now, that is a lot, because you don't have, if you need to pay the bills. So a lot of people are coming into this, they're either working full time and they're looking to ramp it up, or maybe they've lost their job. And so they're heading in this direction, looking to build a freelance position for themselves. And we want you to build up. I mean, this is about spending a lot of time prospecting. Now, that being said, you sound like you've got some great momentum. You might be able to cut that back a little bit, but not so much that you're not, you know, we want you to build a habit, and we want you to get into a rhythm of prospecting every week. Now, there's another thing that you could do, is you could do all your prospecting on Monday. Maybe you block off Monday morning and you do all your outreach on Monday morning. And maybe that's 4 hours or 5 hours. And that would, or you could spread it out an hour a day and do, you know, 5 hours a week. Or you could also do it, whatever, again, whatever works for you in your calendar, but also you could do it by numbers. So let's say that I agree that I'm going to send out 10 warm emails a day. Something like that. Again, arbitrary number. I'm just picking that out of the air. But let's say that, you know, in order to reach my goals of, and it might be a revenue goal that you're trying to reach. How many people do I need to talk to? How many customers do I need to land in order to reach my revenue goals? So you kind of want to back into it and say, okay, if I want to make X amount of dollars, then I want to make sure that I'm reaching out to X amount of people so that I'm converting plenty of clients over time.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I mean,
a lot of really good ideas. And then Chris posted in the chat that a podcast of Ed's that I'll definitely check out. Cause I think the word system is so important for me at this point, you know, and I did lose my job due to COVID, but I had already quit. So, so it was kind of a weird timing, but you know, I do have full time to dedicate to this. So
good.
I'm lucky in that way. Yeah.
No, definitely check out that. That's what I know, that he's got a couple of really great podcasts for time management, because this comes up all the time. It's like, I do feel overwhelmed. The other thing too is to understand, and this is for everyone on the call, anybody listening, is that upfront, this is a lot of work. And then once you get some of these pieces in place, then it starts to get more manageable. I was working full time when I started, and I was working evenings and weekends, and I mean it was crazy because I was working full time and trying to build my business. So for a little while, it might be a little more demanding of your time. It's just got to be one of those things. Like I would work on Saturdays. I ended up working Saturdays and sometimes on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. I would just be like, oh, I have just too much to do and I don't have enough time during the week to do it. So I was working weekends as well. And that was no fun. I'll tell you that right now. No fun at all. But it was temporary and I knew it was temporary. So it was just, I needed to get these things done. So that's just some thoughts, some things that I've tried. And like I said, and thank you, Chris, for sharing that. Let me see. Yeah. Chris for sharing that podcast. So yeah, definitely go on b2blauncher.com, go to Ed's podcast and just search. There's so much information out there for examples and some insights on how to tackle these issues. So.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. You're very welcome. And I hope that's helpful and good luck and keep us posted on your progress. That's really cool.
Thank you.
All right. Some great questions today. And Chris has the next question and he says, most of the lead magnets I have are B2C focused. For mid-sized to large software company prospects, can you provide examples or suggestions of high converting B2B lead magnets? Chris, that I would direct you in head you in the same direction of looking at Ed's podcasts to see what he has in terms of lead magnets. And let me just take a look because I think, I'm not sure if he gets into the details here. Yeah, this he doesn't actually get it. So that's I would start. The other thing, Chris, is to post in the Q&A thread that exact same question. And I'll make sure you could even tag Ed if you'd like to make sure that he sees it. And I'll let him know that he might have some other resources. I, off the top of my head, do not have any resources for you in terms of examples. But start with his website. And then please do post that in the Q&A thread in the Facebook group. And he will have some great suggestions for you in terms of different types of lead magnets that you can put together. Let me take a look. Lead magnets are a bit of work, and I think that's why we don't include it right off in this particular program, because we want you focusing on the basics. We want you to get your website together and get your LinkedIn updated and get, you know, figure out how to warm email and how to research prospects and things like that. So this program, B2B Launcher, is more the basics. A lead magnet is a little bit more maybe the next level up, if you will. And certainly something you should be thinking about if you're towards the end of this program. You're certainly, you know, welcome to dive in, but I would recommend post in the Facebook group and I'll make sure Ed sees it and gives you some ideas and gives you some suggestions, because I know he'll have plenty. All right. Matt. All right. Matt says he's in a space where he'd rather type than talk. No problem. While working on my website, I realized I'm using I and we interchangeably on Why Me and Contact Us. I have an LLC and company name. So I'm as much marketing the company as myself, and I hope to be able to have VAs help me down the road, so my solo business will hopefully soon involve others. Do I need to be consistent in using only I or us across the site? Great question. I see this happening a lot with people. So one thing to think about, Matt, what I would recommend that you consider, and this again is for anybody who's kind of toying with this idea, maybe your longer term goal is to bring in more people so that you have a quote unquote team as opposed to it just being a solo gig for you. So what I would recommend up front, and something to think about, it's entirely your choice as to how you want to represent yourself online. But I often see in the beginning that it makes sense, in my mind, it makes sense to start with going with I, that it's all about me. Because number one, people in this industry, in copywriting, people who hire copywriters are hiring copywriters. They are hiring people. They look to do business. People do business with people, as I say often. And so what you'll find is that people are looking to get to know you personally. What is your background? What do you bring to the table that can help me? How are you going to be able to help me? That's what they're looking for. And they're looking for a person that they can then talk to and say, look, this is what I need. So they want to interact with an individual for the most part, and build what you want to be doing is building a relationship. So I wouldn't hesitate to use I, even though longer term you're looking to move in this other direction and bring in more of a head towards a team, a team's scenario. Number one, because, well, as I just said, people do business with people. They want to get to know you. So don't hesitate to put yourself forward in the sense of, hey, here's my background. Here's what I can do for you. That's what your website should be talking about and focusing on. I can tell you that websites change. My website has changed. I've changed both my URL and my entire content probably 4 times in the 7 years that I've been doing this, which probably isn't necessarily a good thing, but it's a lot of work. But I've changed my focus. So what happens is, you know, what we want to encourage you to do in this program is to put a stick in the sand. This is a starting point for you, for everyone. Your website should be, and that's why Ed talks about done is better than perfect. Get it done. Get it out there. Get started. Start talking to people. One of the reasons is you get into this industry and you think, oh, I'm going to do white papers. That's what I want to do. Or, oh, I'm going to call on the healthcare industry. Yeah, that's, you know, that's my thing. I think that's where I want to go. And then you get into it and you start interacting and things don't always go the way you think they're going to. So maybe the healthcare target that you were focused on, maybe they don't have as much of a need as you thought initially. And you start talking to people and nobody really wants to hire you. Maybe you do your first white paper and you think, oh my gosh, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes. That was awful. I'm bad at it, or I don't like it, or whatever the case may be. You don't know until you do it. And that, I can tell you, I've changed, I've pivoted in my business at least 3 times. I said 4, I think at least 3 major pivots. But over the, in between those, I've kind of just tweaked and tweaked and tweaked and tweaked. So I started by saying, this is what I'm doing. This is who I'm doing it for. And then over time, as I started getting deeper and deeper and got more experience and started talking to people, I realized, you know, this isn't what I want to do. I've written email campaigns and I've written a couple and figured out that is just not me. I do not like writing email campaigns and I have no interest. It's just not my forte. It's not my strong point. You know, long sales landing pages. You know, I know how to do it, but I just don't enjoy it. It's just not, again, not a strength for me. So, you know, and I've written them. That's not because I haven't. It's because I did and then figured out, this is just, we'll leave it to someone who's good at it. And I'm going to move on to something that I enjoy a lot more. So keep in mind that you're all of that to say that your website is going to evolve over time. As you get more experience, as you start talking with more people and doing things, you're going to realize, you know what, I started out doing copywriting very much the way all of you have, where I was writing emails and I was writing blogs and web copy and on and on and on. I don't do any of that anymore. It's been 3 years since I did any of that. Probably 3. Yeah, something like that. Don't do that anymore. I switched to 3 years ago, started focusing on, probably 4 years ago, started focusing on thought leadership and targeting executives to write for them. And then I morphed into book writing. And so now that's all I do is focus on writing books, editing and writing books for people. Big, big shift from, you know, where I started. So keep in mind, this is an evolution. And where you are today is not necessarily what you're going to look like and what you're going to be doing even 6 months from now. I wouldn't recommend that you pivot too soon in your business as you grow, but definitely be open to, what am I learning? You know, how is this? You learn so much once you start working with clients, talking to people. You really start to learn what it is that you're good at and what you really want to do. So I'm hoping that is helpful, Matt, just to give you a little perspective As I mentioned, ultimately it's your choice, up to you how you want to approach it, but just know that you'll change. It will change many times over the course of years. All right, Philip, you're up next with a question. I'm still having problems doing warm emails. Can't seem to find the right companies doing the Google, LinkedIn searches. Also the templates in lesson 5 don't seem to work for me. That's right. We had talked about this. So I'm going to, Philip, I'm going to see if you're available. I'm going to unmute you. Hey, Philip, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great. So tell me a little bit about, I'd like to just some background. When I saw your question, I was like, I just need a little bit of background about the kinds of companies. And am I correct? Are you doing, does it get to do with construction?
Yes, I'm doing basically home building. And everything I look at through the LinkedIn / Google searches end up being really large companies. And I can't seem to narrow it down to anybody, I'm just going to put it bluntly, that gives a hoot.
Yeah. Yep, I understand. So are you, what kinds of companies, is there a particular product or any other kind of a vertical that you're focused on within construction?
No, I don't think so. And one of the things that I was concerned about is whether I have just picked the wrong niche. I didn't want to switch because I know quite a bit about construction,
right,
and I don't know what else I would pick. So I wanted to hang with it until I figured out whether or not I could make it work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So is there also a question for you about the size of company? Is there a reason why you wouldn't approach a larger company? What was your thinking behind that?
Well, what happens is when I've sent out a couple to larger companies, and I don't get any indication that they've even looked at it. The other thing is that I'm having troubles with the templates that are in lesson 5. They just don't seem to work for me, and I don't know how to massage all that. So kind of what I was wondering, Ed's warm email prospecting program doesn't seem to be up now. I tried to look for it to see if I could get some help from that.
Right. So it's going to be similar. What he did was he took a piece of that and just kind of shrunk it down for the purpose of giving you the basics here in this program. I'm not sure if it's still active or not, but that's something you could reach out to support at b2blauncher.com and, you know, ask the question there, and the team will get back to you about that. But as far as the prospecting and the email templates, the templates are really designed to make it easier for you so that you have an idea of what to talk about. And so what I would recommend is that you step back and you look at the templates and just look at the core. And I think he even talks about this. So you want to reach out with something meaningful, something of value, that kind of thing. But the more important thing, especially with the bigger companies, is to be reaching out to the right people. And that would be my next question for you. Even with some of the larger companies, maybe mid-sized companies, have you been calling on like a middle management or, who have you been targeting at these different companies? Is there a marketing team or something like that, a marketing lead that you found?
What I would do is I would narrow the search to marketing managers, like Ed said, but again, I don't seem to have any luck.
Well, it's definitely something that takes time too, by the way. So you can send out 100 emails and, you know, not get a whole lot of response. It's not uncommon. This is something that is, and also not on your first go around. So there's another question for you. Where are you in the program right now? How far along are you?
Well, I'm stalled at lesson 5. I didn't want to go beyond it because I couldn't get the whole warm email thing down. And I figured there's no sense going beyond it if I can't get that done.
And then how big of a list do you have right now? Give me a sense of how long, like, is it, do you have 100 companies on there, 100 contacts, or is it more, is it less?
It's a lot less. I've only sent out probably a dozen so far. And like I say, when I send them out, I feel like nobody's going to respond to this. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, what part, I guess, you know, the part that I'm looking for is to have you send out an email that you do feel comfortable with, first of all. But to send it out with information that perhaps you're sharing some information, perhaps it's something that you observed, maybe you looked at their website and saw, hey, you've got some great blog articles, wondering if that's something that you do yourself, that kind of thing. There's a little bit of research involved there. And with, to be honest, you've got to send out a lot of emails to get a response, and it takes, like I said, it takes time and it takes several touches too. So you're going to send your first email, who knows where it ends up, right? It might end up in their spam. They may be inundated. They may be on vacation. There's a lot of different things that could be going on with the person that's on the receiving end of that email. So I want you to keep that in mind too. And that's why we recommend, Ed has, in the last session here, it's called nurturing those leads that you find, nurturing those contacts. So it's an ongoing process of over the course of weeks and months, you're reaching out to this person multiple times. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, it's just a matter of putting in enough of an effort up front to see what kind of response you get. And it's got to be broad. I mean, that's why we recommend, and he recommends, keep building that list. Did you have any success with the network, with friends, family, existing connections, anything like that?
No, I've been out of the, I really never did have a decent network. I was in the nuclear industry, okay. Power companies, and what I was doing is I was writing procedures. So none of those people, in fact, most of those people are my age, and they've retired. So I can't even get a hold of most of them.
Because that would be one thing. You know, it's interesting, but to send out that friends and family email to people that even aren't in the industry, you know, if you know people that are just, if you think about people that you know that just are you know, maybe work for corporations, it doesn't matter really what they do, but you know, everybody knows somebody, and to send out an email and just say, hey, this is what I'm doing now, it's a great way. Honestly, people that already know you, it's a great way to find initial business, to get people talking and asking you questions online, and I think, you know, or via email. That is definitely something I found. I was nervous about doing that. I felt much the way that you did, where it's like, no one's really going to care. I don't really have anybody in the industry, or, you know, who in my network, who in my background is really going to care about this or be interested. And I was amazed at actually how much business I ended up getting from friends and family. You know, hey, I'm doing this for, you know, got a new freelance gig going and wanted to let you know, just keep me in mind if you know anyone that might need my help. And it's amazing what can come from that. So I would, if you haven't done that yet, I'd send it out anyway, because what have you got to lose? The people just don't respond at all, and that's okay. And maybe you don't get anything from it. At least it was worth the effort to put a simple email out. So I'd encourage you to do that if you haven't already. Because that's been, I have found that's incredibly powerful. And every time I've changed, I was just talking about pivoting in my business. Every time that I pivoted and I changed, I would send that same kind of an email. Hey, doing something new, heading in a new direction. Just wanted to let you know. And it's amazing what kind of response you can get from that. So don't, I wouldn't, I wouldn't discount that, the power of even the network that you do have, even if it's small. Friends and family can be really, can be really helpful. The other thing is other kinds of organizations that you might be a part of. I don't know if you're part of any associations, but look to join perhaps a builders association or contracting. There's lots of associations like that and groups on, you could look on LinkedIn. I'm not sure what LinkedIn would have. They've got lots of groups, but I would look around at a couple different places, Chamber of Commerce, local chamber, and because contractors and builders and people like that will be in that group. I actually worked with early on with a guy who had a drywall company. He had probably 10-ish people or so, a team of 10 working for him. He was desperate for marketing materials. And I worked with him for quite a while. And it was a small company. I mean, he made good money. He had a good business going, but he really needed help. And I was able to help him put some brochures together, and it made a big difference for him. So, you know, think outside of just, you know, I'd get creative and, you know, start looking for contractors in your area that might be a little bit bigger, you know?
And one thing I did run across is my daughter is in the nursing industry, and she's an office manager.
Yep.
And her marketer, his wife runs a company, and he told my daughter that she's looking for copywriting help. And I've reached out to her a couple of times, but so far I don't have an answer. I guess I'm just going to reach out to Josh and say, hey, how about going over there and asking Nicole how come she hasn't answered me?
Yeah, definitely. You know, make light of it. Definitely. I think one thing to keep in mind is that with COVID, it's just, you know, this has changed the landscape. So what you would think would work well, maybe doesn't anymore, or, you know, it's just, we constantly have to try a different approach and try different things. But I would think that locally there'd be, I know for us in my area, there are two, in our state, there are two lumber companies that have retails that have, gosh, probably 40, 50 retail outlets across the state. Two very big companies, they'd be a perfect fit for marketing needs for a marketing writer, because they do all kinds of, you know, they've got these huge stores that you can go into, and, you know, that would be a perfect fit. And they aren't nationwide. They're here, right here in Maine where I live. And, you know, they might be a great, that kind of a business. That's the first thing that, you know, there's so many different, companies related to construction. Maybe it's that B2C. Maybe it's a construction company like that that wants to entice and get in front of that consumer. But it's still building materials. It's still building products and things of that nature. They do a lot of how-to videos, for example, and maybe they need scripts for the how-to videos, and help, you know, help writing a script and, you know, putting a how-to video together for a company like that. So, you know, I'd kind of step back and look around. Maybe there's a regional, you know, a company like that that's regional. You know, you just, I think it's a matter of exploring more. And I agree with you. I don't think it's, you want to shift away from that just yet. I think you need to put a bigger, you know, put in more time and send out more emails. Keep trying, keep doing different things, but things that you think are relevant and things that you think are going to be important to the people you're sending the email to. I think that takes a little bit of research and it takes a little bit of time to understand.
Okay, well, I'll get back on the Facebook page again, and I haven't been on there much other than to read. I haven't asked any questions really, except maybe one time.
Right.
And I have yet to figure out how that page really works.
The Facebook group?
On the Facebook page for this group.
For this program, right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, if you go in, you'll scroll and you'll see actually the Q&A thread, what's called the Q&A thread, is pinned to the very top. So when you first come into the group, when you first open up the Facebook group, that's the first thing you'll see. And that's where you can post your questions. And that's why they put it up there. So other posts come in underneath it. But that's the best place to start if you have questions and you want more support. But I think, you know, I think it's a matter of just kind of this is trial and error, to be perfectly honest, Philip. There's a lot of trial and error here. You're going to go out and you're going to try things. You're going to send out the email, see what happens, send it again, send it to more people, send it to different kinds of companies. You know, somewhere along the line, you're going to end up hitting and having some response. It just takes a lot. You're going to have to send out hundreds of emails over the course of months. And that's why I was talking with Kelly earlier about, you know, you should be spending up to half of your time prospecting. And you should be sending out a lot of emails right now to get you rolling, to get your first client and your first couple of clients. It takes a little bit.
Okay. One more question on the Facebook group is, sure. Do you type above that line where all the question marks are and everything, or do you go down below that?
Below, okay. And you're going to want to comment. Look for the place where you can comment.
That's probably why I haven't been having any success in that group. I've typed stuff above it.
Nope. You want to go, so you find that where the question marks are, and then you go down, just scroll down far enough to see comment and put your cursor right in the comment bubble, and you can type right in there.
Great.
That should, that will help.
I will give that a shot.
All right. Well, I hope this has helped, giving you some ideas. I'm trying to, you know, give you some new ideas and different ways to get this rolling, because it is a bit of work. And you know what, too, Philip, is that if you've never had to do this kind of thing before, Ed and I talk about this all the time, is that if you're new to prospecting, it feels really weird. It's like, oh, this isn't working. I don't know why I'm doing this. And I absolutely understand how you feel. Been there myself, and indeed, and many people in this come through this program feeling like, yeah, this isn't going to work. But it takes time, and I think that's the piece that, you know, we want to jump you into this warm email marketing to get you into a habit of send out 10 emails a week. If nothing else, send out 10 emails a week, but do it every week or do it every day. Do 5 a day or something like that, and just to get you in the habit of doing it, because it's got to be a consistent habit.
Okay, great.
So I hope that helps.
It does.
All right. Well, good luck. And definitely keep us posted in the Facebook group as you move forward.
Right. Below the question mark thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. Look for the bubble. Look for the words that's comment.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, right. Susan.
You're welcome. Right. Super. Okay, Crystal, your question, I think, is up next. Your comments on working full-time brought this up for me. How much time do I spend prospecting given small bandwidth to actually do work? So similar to what I was saying to Kelly is, for me, prospecting was it. And I have often said, I've been doing this for over 2 years for Ed, helping him to support this particular program of his. And I have said many, many times that, you know, the only thing you should be doing is prospecting. Once you get through all the modules in this program, as you go through, once you get to session 5, you start learning about warm emails, and then you move on from there and warm email prospecting. Keep going through don't hesitate to keep going through the sessions and getting them done, because they all work together and they all build on each other, as you probably have seen. But prospecting should be your job. Prospecting. So Chris, if you only have 2 hours a day to devote, and I'm just, again, arbitrary, let's say you have 2 hours a day that you can spend doing this, I would spend one of those hours finishing up the program, and then the other hour prospecting. And so that might be research. It might be, you know, reaching out, actually sending warm emails, you know, maybe having a phone call, hopefully, you know, a discovery call with someone, those kinds of things. So if that's all you've got, then that would be a good way to, because then once you get through the program, then guess what? You suddenly still have 2 hours to work with every day, but now that full 2 hours can be building your business. because once you finish the program, then you're done. You don't have to spend 1 hour working on the program. You can now spend the full 2 hours prospecting. But getting that first client, getting clients is what this is all about. That's what you're here for. That's what you're here to understand how to build a platform on which to build your business. That's what this program is about. And building your business means prospecting, prospecting, prospecting. And it is very uncomfortable for people who've never been in sales before. If you don't have any experience in sales, prospecting is really foreign territory. It feels really icky sometimes. But I think I've seen many different approaches, and I believe Ed's approach is the least icky. Technical term there. It's the least uncomfortable. It's something that really resonated with me, is that, again, people do business with people. So, you know, I reach out with an email saying, hey, you know, I know you're busy, but I want to be able to help you with that. I want to take some of that off of your plate. And I talk about that in my website reviews as well. If you've had your website reviewed, you'll hear me say that, you know, this is about engaging with someone to let them know, look, I'm trying to help you. I'm here to help you. This is about me helping you to be better at your job, helping you relieve some of the things on your to-do list. Let me take some of those things on so that you can be freed up to do what's, you know, top of your to-do list. So I think that's an important way to view this, is that, like, I'm reaching out because I'm helping. I mean, there's a tremendous, yes, of course I want to get paid for it, but the fact is, the bottom line is, I'm reaching out because I really want to be able to help people. And that's the mindset shift you might want to think about, is like, you know what, I'm not reaching out to pester someone, I'm reaching out to help them. And that's the truth. And that is definitely a great perspective to have when you start doing the warm email prospecting. It's important to kind of shift your mindset to, you know what, this is about, if I don't reach out and offer my services and offer my help, somebody else will. Number one. Number two, I really am trying to help. This is all about helping companies be more successful at what they do, helping businesses grow, helping them be better, and to find their best customers so that they can grow and continue to, you know, it's a positive, very positive thing if you have the right mindset going in. All right. Yeah, Crystal, thanks for the comment there. Yep, no experience in sales. Oh my gosh. I was in sales for the first half of my career, and I sold all different kinds. Over the course of my career, I've sold all kinds of interesting things, big and small, and everything in between, from products to services. I've got a lot of sales experience. So prospecting for me was, you know, you just get used to it and you get comfortable with it. But as a writer, one of the things that I love is, like, how can I help you? That's my mindset. Like, I can help you. I can make your life easier. I can bring you more. I can help bring more business in the door for you. Why wouldn't you want to talk to me? It's, you know, I really can help. It's amazing how powerful words are, and done well in a marketing environment. Words are incredibly powerful and they can help. And most people aren't good writers. So you don't even have to be top of the top. You know, everybody's starting out here as a brand new writer too. Maybe you've been writing as part of your career, like Philip was sharing, you used to be a processor, more of a technical writer, things like that. Maybe that's great. That's important for prospects to know. Look, I've been writing for, you know, 20 years in business. That's powerful. People are going to sit up and say, really? This might be somebody that can help me. They're looking for help. Then you have the ability and the skills to help. And that's the approach you should take. So yeah, Philip, same thing. Zero experience in sales. I hear you. And that's why this feels so awkward to you, Philip, is just like, ugh, I'm not used to doing this. I think most of us, a lot of people go into corporate America in positions that have no sales connection whatsoever. They're just doing their thing, and you're not used to having to go out and say, hey, I'm trying to get attention. That feels really weird. First of all, trying to get someone's attention feels really uncomfortable if you're not used to being in a sales role. So it's okay. That doesn't mean that you're that you're bothering them. And the emails, the way that Ed has them designed, is to say, hey, you know, I'm here to help. Just want you to know I'm here to help. That's kind of his approach with the email template, which I think is very useful. Very, very useful. So awesome. Well, lots of great conversation, lots of great questions today. Thank you, all of you, for being here and participating. It really keeps me on my toes, and really, hopefully, it's helpful for all of you. I'd love to, before we wrap up here, I'd love to hear a little bit about what your top takeaway is from today. We talked about a lot of things, lots about prospecting and warm emails, and about how to present yourself, lots about time management. And I'm going to go and dig up a couple more, I hope, a couple more of the podcasts of Ed's to share, and I'll post those in Facebook so you can see them on lead. I'm going to look for lead magnet stuff as well as for time management. So, but anything that you found was really helpful today that you thought, ooh, that's a different way of thinking about things, or geez, I'm really, you know, that was most helpful. I'd love to hear about it. Matt says to get my website finished and then focus up to 50% of my time on prospecting. Yeah, good. I'm glad that made sense. Should be 50%. Once you start and you're getting momentum in your business where people are actually, you know, people are contacting you, maybe they're responding to your emails or responding, you're starting to get into more conversations, you're starting to get, maybe you've got a couple of clients on board. Once you start getting it to that place of momentum, then that percentage shifts. So now I can shrink that down, but it never goes away. Prospecting never goes away. That's something that it's just going to be, I encourage you to open your mind and to be as comfortable with the prospecting piece as possible, because this is a whole different ballgame. Got to do it all the time. Even if you shrink it down to like 20% of your time at some point, but not until you've got enough momentum in your business to warrant that shift. Chris Dole says, try different ways to find companies. Great. Yeah, this is, again, and that's part of the sales mentality too, a little bit, is thinking like, who else should I be reaching out to? What are our different companies that I should be tapping? Even if they're associated company. So maybe it's one-off from your target market. Maybe they're just outside of the market you'd really like to be working with, but they're related. Think about companies that sell into the target that you are targeting. So for Philip, if it's construction, what companies are selling into the people that you would think you'd like to be writing for? And maybe start tapping them as well. So maybe it's a product. Maybe it's a product line that is trying to get into a local distributor, a local lumberyard. You know, maybe that's a Trex or something, you know, some other kind of product. Start tapping on them too. You know, step back. What about the all of the tool companies or the different companies that are selling their product into the construction, into the different construction outlets? You know, lots of different ways. Ed calls them adjacent markets. So if you look on his podcast and you look up adjacent markets, there's some great stuff out there for adjacent markets too. He's got one podcast in particular that really explains the whole adjacent market very clearly. It's a great podcast. Nadine says she loved the information about time management. We'll definitely check out Ed's podcast. Working on session 2 and 3 over the next 2 weeks. Awesome. Philip, get 3 to 5 warm emails out per day. Perfect. And the other thing too is and for you, Philip, in particular, but for anybody who doesn't have that sales background or is just feeling a little out of sorts and uncomfortable with the whole idea of prospecting, start small. It's okay to send out 3 to 5 warm emails a day. There's nowhere is it written that you have to send out 100 every day. That would be overwhelming, and it would take you all day to do that anyway. Start small. I'd rather see you send out 3 emails a day consistently every day than none at all. It's all about it's a numbers game in a lot of ways. You've got to reach out to a lot of people in order to get any kind of a response. You know, the numbers, I guess the response rate is pretty low for emails. So don't be discouraged by the fact that you sent out 100 emails and nobody responded. Depending on who you're sending them to, that happens. It does happen. And so sending out 3 a day, just do it every day. Just commit to doing 3 a day. That's great. It's better than none. And that's where we want you to be. It's just build that muscle, build that habit. Excuse me. Awesome. All right. And my last question for everybody is top action item. Anything at all. It doesn't have to be something we talked about today. It can be anything at all that you are planning on working on in the next week or so. What are you going to be focused on? Maybe one thing that you want to do, that you want to get completed. And I think a couple people even said, Nadine, you were just saying, going to work on sessions 2 and 3 in the next 2 weeks. And Matt, actually, you also same thing. You said to get your website finished and focus 50% of your time on prospecting. Excuse me. Yeah, Matt, definitely would love to see your website. So Matt's going to submit his website for feedback. Awesome. Love to see that. Looking forward to it. Philip is going to start session 6. Keep moving. Absolutely, Philip. Yeah. You want to do the work of the prospecting simultaneously, in tandem with continuing to do session, the next session. Like I was saying, you got 2 hours a day, spend 1 hour on the program, and then a second hour doing your warm email prospecting. Chris is going to finish his chatbot project and a client article by Monday, then circle back. Great. Great, great. Sam's going to finish his website and go live and barrel through session 4. Excellent. Excellent. Awesome, awesome. Well, let me see. Philip said I have 60 hours a week. You got 30 and 30 then. Just kidding. Oh my goodness. Spread that out through, I wouldn't necessarily say you have to spend 30 hours a week prospecting, because 60 hours is a lot. 30 hours would be a lot, but at least 10, and prospecting, when I talk about that, Philip, I also mean part of it is research, or going out and seeing who you can find and maybe go to the local, lumber yard or something like that. Especially if it's a large, slightly larger one where they've got multiple sites, just drop in and poke around. It's a great, great way to get out of the house and, of course, wear your mask, but go and see if you can make a connection somewhere. Sometimes a guy standing at the register or the gal standing at the register might have some information that would be helpful. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you so much for participating. It's great to have great questions and good conversations. So I appreciate you all being here, participating, and sharing your thoughts and sharing resources in the chat. So thank you for contributing today. And as I mentioned, jump on Facebook. Be active there as well. Let us support you there in between these calls. And I want to wish all of you a great weekend. It's already Thursday, my goodness, and we're already in August. Have a great upcoming weekend. See you guys on Facebook. If you need help, please reach out. Don't be shy. And take care, everybody. We'll see you soon.